Let's talk. If it's okay with you, I'm not going to preach a sermon this morning, or give a message, or do a Bible study. It's all right with you. We're going to have a conversation. A conversation about you and me, our church, our future, my future. Just a conversation. I want you to know before I begin, though, I say this in all honesty, I can't remember a time I've been more excited and more humbled and more grateful for what God is doing in the life of the church than I am right now. It's absolutely amazing, the things that are happening. You know, our church is an old church. We've been around over 160 years. I wish someone would find out exactly how old we are. We always argue about that. But we've been around for a long, long time. There are a lot of churches that are very old churches, but this is a church that's an old church, but it's had an upward trajectory all that time, just growing and growing. There's been some blips and glitches along the way, but this church has been going and going and going and going. I don't know how many people attended that first Easter service down on Emmons Street 160 years ago, maybe 75 or 80 people, probably somewhere in that number. But last Sunday morning was Easter here, and we had, what, 6,460-something, almost 6,500. God has continued to bring this church forward over all this time, and I'm so awed. I'm so humbled by what God has done in our church and what God is doing in our church. Isn't it wonderful to see these people baptized, making professions of their faith in Jesus Christ? I tell you, this is an incredible time in the life of First Baptist Church. I think about our youth ministry. It's probably stronger today than it's been in decades and decades. I think of our children's ministry, growing in new ways, ways we had never thought about before. The adult ministry, the missions ministry, our mission teams that are going out all over the world. Every week almost every week we send people out somewhere across the continents to give witness to Jesus Christ. It's incredible what God is doing. I think about our worship team and our choir and our orchestra. Someone referred to them the other day as the Brooklyn Tab of the South. I thought that was a pretty good description. I like that idea. We're the Brooklyn Tab of the South. And I think about our media ministry. We have a media ministry here that's far larger than just the numbers represented. We have the ability to touch not just tens or hundreds or thousands, but hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people every week through our media ministry, through television, radio, and through the internet, and all the stuff that I do not understand. But God is blessing, remarkably blessing in our ministry. I'm so humbled by what He has done, and I'm so amazed at what He is doing, and I'm so excited about what God is going to do and what you and I are going to experience in this church in the years to come. You say, well, Pastor, we're glad you're excited about it. But rumor has it, Pastor, you are not going to be around for it. Rumor has it that you're leaving us, or that you're done with us, that you're leaving. I don't know where that rumor got started. It sounds a little bit like wishful thinking in some people's parts. But that's not true. As far as I know, I'm here to stay. As far as I know, I'm not going anywhere. As far as I know, I'm planted right here in this place. You are my faith family. This is my church home. I'm not going anywhere. Now, I say all of that, but I had to come back around and be honest and open and frank with you and transparent and tell you, we're here to stay, but some things are about to change in our lives. An old Bob Dylan song from the 60s, the times they are a-changing. Well, the times they are a-changing for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the writer, who probably was Solomon, writes this very poignant statement. He said, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And he goes on to list all these seasons of time. Time to be born, time to die, time to laugh, time to cry, time to heal, time to kill. And he goes right down this list of things. And he talks about how seasons come and seasons go and seasons end and seasons start. And there's another metaphor that people use to talk about the time. Sometimes we talk about a church as being like a book that is written. And if that's the case, we have over 160 chapters in the book, and we're still writing the book. And new chapters are being written all the time. And I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to be part of the book that we call First Baptist Church, but the times, they are a-changing. Things are going to be different in a very short order. And it's time for time to change things. Alice and I came to this church in 1992, almost a quarter of a century ago. It's a long, long time. I remember the first time I came to Cleveland. I came up without Alice. I was pastoring church in Middle Georgia, in Perry, Georgia, about 4.5 hour drive away. The pastor's church committee had asked me to come, and so I just came up by myself, drove that old beat up blue station wagon, that some people are still joking about even now. This was before the days of GPS, and which I couldn't use anyway. But I turned off from the interstate on exit 20, found my way to a place with a sign pointing toward Cleveland. I found myself out front of Bradley High School, and I drove down a little further and got off to the right, a little veer off to the right. Suddenly I'm on 3rd Street. Next thing I know, I'm in a parking lot behind an old mill, and I can't get out. So that was my first impression of Cleveland. It got better over time, but it got better. Then Alice and I came up, and we had 3 young kids in tow when we came. Those 3 young kids now are grown, have their own missions, ministries, their own family. They have their own ministries going on. And life has changed us. We've gone through a lot of change in a quarter of a century. Found a picture of myself you might want to look at. They've got it. I was pretty, don't you think? I don't know what possessed me to buy that yellow coat. Notice the padding in the shoulders. That was me then. This is me now. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. Yeah. You say, Pastor, what happened? Time is what happened. A quarter of a century of time. For a quarter of a century, I have been, if not the solitary, the singular voice from this pulpit. For a quarter of a century, my vision has been, or my interpretation of God's vision has been the vision we followed. For a quarter of a century, you've listened to me and followed me. I'm not sure how bright you are, but this is what you've done. But 25 years have gone by. It's time to hear another voice and follow another vision. To that end, Alice and I have been praying and talking a great deal lately about what we need to do, and we both came to the conclusion that it's time for transition to take place in our lives. And to that end, 2 weeks ago, I formally asked the leadership of the church, the deacons, leadership team, and the executive ministry staff, if they would move forward with a process to begin searching for the next pastor of this church. If they put together a transition team whose job it will be to prepare the church for a new pastor and to search for a new pastor for this church. By the way, I believe that God has someone specific in mind. I was joking around a couple of weeks ago, and I made the statement that sometimes I felt like I got here accidentally, like some accident. I'm not here accidentally. I'm here because God put me here. For 35, 36, 37 years before I came here, God was uniquely preparing me to be the pastor of this church. He was uniquely training and preparing my unique spiritual personality to match your unique spiritual personality. And here's what I believe. I believe just as he was preparing me over all that time, for the last 25 years, he's been preparing someone else. It's our task now to seek that person out. It won't necessarily be an easy task to do. There was a time when things were a lot easier than they are now. You know, there was a time when pastors didn't stay very long at churches, just, you know, 3 years and out, preach 3 years and resign and go away. That's how things happen. Now things are different than that. I've been here for 25 years. I'm the longest serving pastor in the history of this church. Many have done better. None have done it longer, so keep that in mind. But that's the reality of it all. And so we recognize it might not be an easy task. Things have changed. There are things that are happening today that make it very difficult to find this new band. Congregations are much larger than they used to be. 40, 45 years ago when I began all of this, there weren't 100 churches in the country our size or larger. Now there are thousands of churches this size or larger. Congregations are larger. Churches are more complex. They've never been as complex as they are now. I remember a time when the lighting system of the church was a dimmer switch on the back wall. That was it. Sound system was a big microphone that looked like a tennis shoe. It was nailed down to the pulpit. That was the sum total of our technology at that time. There was no technology at that time. There was no off-campus sites, no genres of music, all those different things. Those things just didn't exist. Now they do exist. And so when you're searching for a new pastor, you have to find and look for someone who has that understanding. The congregations are larger, churches are more complex, and the culture is more hostile than ever before. I don't want to put down or denigrate in any way previous generations. I don't mean to say that they did not have difficult issues to deal with. They did. They dealt with things like the civil rights movement. Those were difficult things to deal with. But never has it been like today, where today we deal with so many things. I remember years ago, you'd come to a business meeting, and the most difficult thing you discuss at the business meeting was whether or not women should be allowed to wear pants to church. That was the big discussion. And then second to that was, what are we going to do about the gum stuck to the bottom of the pew? Those were the things that we fought about in church business meetings. And I can remember when the biggest scandal in the church, when a rumor went around that one of the deacons was seen with a beer in his hand in a ball game. That was the biggest scandal. Now, we live in a day that's much different than that. Now we live in a time when we have to deal with the gay agenda. We have to deal with same-sex marriage. We have to deal with transgender bathroom issues. And we have, you don't know this, but we have already been dealing with that for some time. All of those things we've had to deal with. Now, in generations past, none of that stuff was being dealt with. But now we're looking at a situation where the next person coming in will have a very difficult time just because the culture has changed so much. But because of all those things, we've come to believe it's time for us to move now, to not wait any longer, that we start that transition process. And to that end, Alice and I gave a date that would be the date of our transition. We figured this thing out a long time ago. If you don't set a date, nothing happens. So here's our date. It's October the 25th, 2018. That's 18 months from now? Am I right about that, Alice? 18 months? Did you do the math? Okay. That's 18 months, a year and a half from now. That's our target date. Until then, we plan to be right here doing what we do. By the way, I call that a target date, but you need to know it's a moving target. It may take longer. We don't know. It may take 24 months, or it may be much shorter. Maybe in 6 months' time, the whole thing will be done. We don't know. This is a moving target that we set out there, but it is a target date that we're looking at the time we would turn the church over to the new pastor. Now, whether that happens that quickly or not, we do not know. But that's the target date that we are looking at. Now, inevitably, when we talk about these things, questions come to people's minds. And I know that inevitably there's going to be someone who's going to say, there's more to this than meets the eye. Something's going on down at the church. You know that guy, don't you? Yeah. Something's going on down at the church. And inevitably, he's going to come, or she's going to come and ask, well, what's really going on down at the church? Well, here's what's really going on down at the church. We've decided that it's time, that the church needs fresh eyes and fresh energy. And somebody else is going to say, well, you know, I'm not so sure about all of that. What about what are you going to do down there, Pastor? Are you quitting? Are you going to? That's a good question. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I haven't addressed that issue. I'm hoping and praying that I'll be able to continue to preach in some venue here. We'll have to see how that works out. I don't know how that will work out in the future. You'll remember when I was coming out of my cancer surgery, one of the things I told you that I prayed, I asked God to let me preach until I'm 60, or excuse me, preach until I'm 85. Well, there's a huge difference between preaching until you're 85 and trying to pastor a nearly 6,000 member church. I'm ready to let someone else pastor. I want to keep preaching. But I don't know exactly how all this is going to work out. And we're stepping out in faith. Some have suggested that I write. Some suggested that I never write. And all kinds of things. But on that date, October 25th, 2018, Alice and I will be 65 and 66 years of age. We just don't think it's a good thing to wait any longer. It's time for us to move forward with all these things. And then this one last inevitable question someone's going to ask. Pastor, is this all about your health? Is your health declining so fast? I would be lying to you if I did not say my health has a part to play in it. You have been so good to us. You were with us when I went through my cancer surgery. You stayed with us when I went through my liver failure. You've been with us and cared for us and cared about us when I collapsed on the floor up here from a stroke, which I'm still embarrassed about now. So upset they cut my shirt off. But that's another story altogether. And then we got that, what has been for us the most devastating diagnosis was the Parkinson's. That's the problem that we have. And I'll be honest with you, what that has done for me is it takes things that used to be an hour-long job, it takes a day and a half now. The work that I would do in 2 days now, it takes me a week. So I would be lying to you if I said it didn't have something to do with it. Obviously, it does. But it's not really why we're doing this. It's just time. A quarter of a century is enough. Right now, it's time for a new voice, and a fresh vision. It's just time. You said, well, what can we do with this? Well, get excited. Don't moan and groan and walk out mourning. I haven't died yet. Don't get excited. After the first service, bless their hearts. I couldn't convince several people that I'm not leaving yet. I'm going to be here another probably 2 years or so. And I want to continue to minister through the church. But it's just time. Get excited about it. I'm excited about it. You and I get the opportunity to participate in setting the next generation forward for the next 25 years. This has been a great accomplishment. Great things have happened. It's been a great ride, but I don't want it to be over. I want it to continue on. I want to be able to say, yeah, I had a part in building the kingdom of God in Cleveland, Tennessee, being part of First Baptist Church. I want to be excited about it. I've got a picture in my mind. I'm not supposed to share the picture, but I'm going to share it anyway. Because people think that this is a vision. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. It's just a picture in my mind. You know, people talk about us being the church and the cow pasture. Did you know that? Where is First Baptist Church? Well, that's that church and the cow pasture. That's what it looks like when you drive by and look outside. We look like the church and the cow pasture. I had this image in my mind. One day, somebody's going to come along in that cow pasture and build high-rise condos. And in my dying days, my last days, I'm going to live in the penthouse and look down on you people. That's the picture that I have in mind. And I'm excited about that. Get excited. Stay the course. Don't jump ship. Stay the course. Be faithful. Be good stewards. Be generous, people. Let's get the debt paid off. Why are we lingering with that debt? And I'll say this just to only apply to a handful of you. We've got a couple of buildings we need to build. Most of this congregation won't be able to do that, but there are a handful of people in this congregation who could build those buildings for us. I'd love to see that happen. Just love to see that happen. But be faithful. Stay the course. God, and last thing I'll say, and trust God. God knows what he is doing. He's allowed us to have an extraordinary ministry for over 160 years. And he's given us a great ride together. And this, I know God knows exactly what he's doing. Just trust the Lord with all of your heart. And it's going to be good. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And I'm going to sit on my balcony and wave at you. It's going to be a fantastic time. Now, one last word I want to share with you, and then we'll spend some time praying. Please know this. Alice and I love you very much. We put a whole lot of ourselves in this church, and we love this church. We love all of you. We don't always like you, but we love every one of you. And we look forward to the time when all this has gone by and we see how God's doing things. We're all part of this great ministry. But we love you so much, very much. You've been very kind, very good to us. We have no complaints about you. We love you so very much. I hope you know that. I hope you understand that.